I'm going to read once again verses 25 through verse 30. We're going to be back in Revelation as a review for through Revelation 6 and Revelation 20. We're going to spend most of today in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And so, but it all stems from a verse of Scripture that we're going to read here in the Gospel of John. John chapter 5, beginning to read with verse 25, and let's just back up and read verse 24. It's too wonderful a verse not to read. Chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. He hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you today. I just praise you for your power. I praise you for your presence. I thank you that you've come to meet with us, and you meet with us each time we come and open the doors of this building. It's not that you're contained here in this building, but you come and meet with us as a family. And I thank you, Father, that you do that, because only upon your presence will something take place. Will hearts be convicted? Will souls be saved? Will we grow and be more like you, Lord Jesus? And so please today, as we've come together once again, we're asking for your power and your presence. We're asking for your convicting power upon our hearts. And please show us your will and direction in these words that we've read today concerning the judgments that's to come, your saving power that is present. Please just show us your word today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. As review here, as we look at this 25th verse, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. This hour, this call for salvation, this call for the world to repent and come to the Lord Jesus Christ, this special hour, an hour that has never been alike, the hour that of time before the Lord Jesus had come to this earth and then died for our sins and then went back home to be with his Father, and then the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, and we have enjoyed that hour now for 2,000 years. So that's a 2,000-year-long hour. But never in history have we had such a precious time, a sweet time, concerning the power of God and the strength of God. Because you see, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit just came down upon people. They didn't have the wonderful convicting power of the Holy Spirit that is present today. It is such a wonderful hour to live in. But it's an hour that, even though it's been so long, many have missed it. They have not recognized the need to come to salvation through their Lord and Savior. This hour will come to an end. As I said last week, it'll come to an end with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. That's when this hour that we're in today will end. And it could end any second. Everything is in place that the hour could come to an end. and those that refuse to come by faith to the Lord Jesus will have to face this awful time called the tribulation period. We know with the 26th verse, "For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself." We have the opportunity to live a physical life. That gift is a gift from God. But also, the giver of life gives us another life, life eternal, salvation. And it comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so what a wonderful opportunity to not only to be alive and to live a physical life here, but then to add to that life to where it makes it true life and real life, to possess salvation and to serve and know the Lord Jesus. So we have life in our Lord. We also find in the 27th verse that he has the authority to execute judgment. And so the Father has given the Son this power and this strength to judge. He will judge both physically, and he will judge spiritually. And as we looked at this Revelation chapter 6, verse 12 through 17 last week, we find that when his judgment comes, when he comes to judge the wicked appear here upon the earth, that they will wish that the rocks could fall upon them, that the mountains would collapse and fall and hide them from the presence of the wrath of the Lamb, this scripture says, Revelation 6, 12 through 17. The wrath of the Lamb. And so there is going to be a physical judgment. And this judgment will come, and when this comes, why, they will give anything to hide their body and their mind and their eyes away from the one that's coming. But they can't. And we call that the second coming. Now, this hour that's going to end with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, that is a time that we call the rapture of the church. And all here that know Jesus as their Savior will be taken up. Those that have faced the grave ahead, they will come first. They had to go through the physical death. So those graves will be opened and they will be raptured and taken into the presence, receiving their glorified bodies. And you and I that are alive, if it happens in our time, we too will meet him in the air. We will follow those that went on before us. But then 7 years later, 7 years later is what Revelation chapter 6 is talking about. If you remember last week, we read verses of scripture ahead of that, and we talked about how that those that were under the altar, those that had died a martyr's death during this tribulation period, cries unto the Lord, and they want to know, how long will you let them get by with what they're doing? And so you see, those under the altar are witnesses against this world. They have come. Those witnesses under the altar are witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. They proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ and lost their life for it. And I promise you that those that took those lives will be held responsible and held in God's court, and justice will take place. But those underneath the altar were becoming impatient. They wanted to know how long. And really, I believe they were wondering how many more are going to have to die. Why, God, are you so patient? As we talked last week, God is a patient God. And God is giving every opportunity for these to turn and come by faith to the Lord Jesus. This morning on Carthage, we talked about how that the nation of Canaan, the land of Canaan, as the nation of Israel was on the east side of the Jordan, just waiting to cross over and possess the land. And the orders were to kill all. And some say that God's a brutal God. Well, God gave those people the land of Canaan 430 years to repent. And they refused. He gave them a second call 38 and a half years before that, and they refused to repent. And when the two spies arrived, and if you want to read it, you read the first couple chapters of the book of Joshua, and you'll find that the land of Canaan, the city of Jericho, was terrified at the power of God and what was to take place. And yet none other than Rahab and her family repented. So you see, God's not an evil God. God is a patient God, and God is a just God. He brings salvation to us, but also when those that hate the gospel, hate God, hate those that preach the gospel, He will hold every one of those actions responsible. And this physical death that comes here in Revelation chapter 6, this physical terror is nothing compared to eternity for these folks that reject the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you have folks that you know and you have folks that you love, Jesus could come any second and take us away. And all those people that we know, I have folks I love and I know, I have family members I know and I love, and they have refused the gospel. They have chosen another way. They will walk right into the tribulation period. And they will have to face this time. And you wonder, why under this tremendous fear of the wrath of God as He comes, why don't they fall on their faces and repent? It's probably because they can't. You see, there's a day to be saved, and today is the day of salvation. And there's a day that God quits calling. And I believe these, He has called, and He has called, and He has called, but that calling is over. And now only thing they see is the wrath of God upon them. That's what's to come. So we looked at that, and then we went to Revelation chapter 20. And we looked at this. Now here is a not only a spiritual judgment, a physical judgment as well. Because the scripture tells us here back in John that they marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear His voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done good to the resurrection, to evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And that's in verse 28 and 29 of John chapter 5. As we look at this time, understand, because that is in one verse, doesn't mean it's the same resurrection. Those two resurrections are 1,000 years apart from each other. These judgments are 1,000 years apart. And the judgment and the justice of the resurrection of the living, those that have trusted in Jesus, will be first. And then those that are dead in Christ, they have not known Christ, they did not want Christ, they rejected Christ, they will lay in that grave for another 1,000 years, but their bodies will be raised. And that time will come. And as we looked at that, they are judged because, and they are held responsible. They will be judged according to their works. But there's one thing that's going to be lacking, and that section of Scripture in Revelation 20, verse 11 through 15. In the 15th verse, it says, their name was not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It doesn't say that they didn't have enough money. It didn't say that they didn't belong to the right church. It didn't say that they didn't say the right words. It's because they didn't come by faith to Jesus. It's that simple. They did not come by faith to Jesus, because that's all that's required to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The people that face the judgment of Revelation chapter 20 are those that their name was not found written, and it's called the second death. The 13th verse of that section of Scripture says they were judged, every man according to his works. God is a just God. There will not be one work, one activity that they did that God does not hold and have before Him. But you see, nothing of us is good. Nothing can buy our salvation. It's all by the works of Christ, by the blood of the Lord Jesus. That's how we're saved. And he gives us it all. He gives us salvation. He gives us eternal life. He gives us the faith to believe. All we have to do is turn to him. Oh. No one will be without excuse. And then the 15th verse closes. They was cast into the lake of fire. Cast into the lake of fire. There's more scripture verses talked about the lake of fire and hell and damnation than there is of heaven. And yet the preachers in most pulpits today do not speak the truth. They talk about the love of God and that God would not condemn anyone to hell. And most of you don't even believe there is a hell. Most hymn books have taken all the beautiful hymns concerning the blood are gone. What a sad day we live in. What a sad day. Now, that's the lost. But there is a judgment for the saved as well. There's a judgment for us, not concerning our salvation. I want that right up front before we get started. It's not concerning our salvation. There's not a work that we can do to get saved. There's not a work that we can do to keep saved. It's all the grace of God. But as believers, we should desire with our heart to serve him and to praise him and to honor him. To do his service. And there'll be rewards for you and I if we choose to serve our Lord. Now let's look to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to begin reading with the 9th verse of this section of Scripture. We're going to read down through verse 15. To many of you, this is a very common Scripture. You've read it many times. You've heard it preached many times. But listen very carefully today. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. We are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defileth the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple are ye? Now, I read a couple of extra verses there of Scripture, but as we look at this foundation, Paul presents that we are laborers together. We have a building to build. But the foundation, that is everything. And that helps us as we build on this foundation. There is one foundation. There's many things in the Scripture that are singular. There is one foundation. There is one gospel. There is one salvation. There is one way. There's one name. There's one door. There's one church. There's one head. And there's one body. The Scripture says, then, that is laid. It's not something that's going to be laid in the future. It's something that's already in place that is laid. This laying of the foundation is God's doing. It's God's operation. It has nothing to do with man. This foundation is the most important thing for us to understand. We must, he's speaking to believers here. He's not talking to lost people. So get it out of your mind that any part of this, the wood, hay, and stubble is the lost, that they didn't make it, they didn't say the right words, they didn't belong to the right church, they didn't get baptized the right way. You know, something they messed up. That's not true at all. This is talking completely to believers. So get that thought of being lost or being saved is part of this because it isn't. Don't put this in a term as the Catholics would with purgatory. You've got enough good works, enough bad works, and so your good works, and then if you know enough people with enough money, then they can push you on up and get you in. No. This is talking to believers. Only believers in Jesus Christ. Those have come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, there are many buildings, but the ground upon the New Testament church is built on God's ground. It's His doing, His building. He has chosen it, He has appointed it, and it's His completely. The foundation is His. This one foundation of the New Testament church, of course, is none other than Jesus Christ. He is our foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ, the person who has come from His Father in heaven, has come down here upon this earth, lived, suffered, died, rose again, and ascended back to His Father. That is the person that man has rejected. The person this world didn't want. But He is our Savior, our only Savior. He is our only foundation, the only one. Can't build on anything else, nothing else. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 says, "Upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." What wonderful words. Upon this foundation. Some believe and teach that Peter is this rock. Well, Peter's a pebble. We're upon the rock, the Lord Jesus. Matthew chapter 21, verse 44, "And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." Some folks have a little trouble understanding what that stands for, what that means. It means that you and I, to be saved, we have to humble ourselves. We have to recognize that we're a sinner and we're lost. Why won't people get saved today? They won't get saved today because they won't humble themselves and admit that they're wrong and admit they're a sinner and admit that they're lost. They don't want to admit there's even a God. They don't want to admit there's a heaven or a hell. They just want to live today for what it wants to give them, and then tomorrow for whatever its worth or its value. Well, they're going to find that they were badly mistaken. They need to come with a humble heart. We're saved that way, by turning unto the Lord. We're also to set our life in service in that same way. The more we are broken, the more humble that we are, the more God can teach us and use us. And so that's this falling upon, being broken, being humbled. But those that refuse, that same stone, the Lord Jesus, will crush them to powder. He has to. He's a just God. He has to. The stone of judgment will fall and crush all those that refuse the gospel. This one foundation is Jesus Christ, our Lord. The way we know our Lord is to know His precious word. His precious word. God has given it to us. It is not just a book that was recorded some historical events. It is God's living word. And so when we look to the word of God for our direction, we look to the word of God for our salvation, we look to the word of God to serve Him, we look to the word of God of how to live. It is our manual. We need no other. But man rejects God's manual. Man rejects God's way. Man is very prideful. Why do you believe in all the centuries that so many have tried to make revisions and changes? They come out almost on a weekly basis, a new Bible, a new version, a new translation. Why do you think the devil does that? He said, the devil? Yes. All the devil has to do is pick at it one little bit at a time. Isn't it wonderful that you and I would take time to see if this new Bible is better than our old Bible that we got saved by? Why do we care? We've got the Word of God. We've got the living Word. And the old devil is so subtle. You know the first new translation from God's precious word was quoted by Satan himself? Did God say? And then Eve, she bought into it because she misquoted God's word. You want to lose God's power? You want to lose God's strength? You get away from the Word of God. You get away from it. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Years ago, the Revised Standard Version came out. Boy, that was everybody. I had one. That's what folks got me when I was little. You look at the Revised Standard Version of the Bible, and that old devil pulled this out and moved this and changed this. Well, you know, it basically has the same meaning. We have God's Word, and we have the Holy Spirit to lead us through it. Why are we concerned about what's out there today? Why can't you just take your old Bible and open it up and study it? That devil is seeking to destroy. He makes new and improved models. The devil is attempting to chip away at this precious foundation of Jesus Christ, one block at a time, one chisel at a time. So maybe he can just poke a small hole in it that you'll begin to believe a lie. And that lie will suck the very power and strength. Not going to take your salvation away, but it will take your power and strength away. Because all that comes from our Lord. This foundation is Jesus Christ. This foundation is His precious word that we stand on. We need to know the doctrines. Have you noticed that that's what the New Age churches are doing? They're eliminating all the doctrines. They're eliminating all the doctrines. Oh, some of these New Agers, it's unreal what they believe and what they stand for. And you know how they got where they are today? They started believing a lie. They started using another Bible, a little easier to understand. And the power of God left. And so when the power of God leaves, organization comes in. Plans come in, committees arrive so we can build a church. not building a church. You're building a country club. You're building an organization. We need to build a church. And the only way we can build a church is to build it upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, His doctrines, and we need to learn His doctrines. Now, there are two classes of people that this text, this scripture here, looks at. There are two different classes of works, I guess I would say, not people. If any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble. Now, that tends to, we've always preached it that if you will do it in God's name, if you do it in Jesus' name, you're not doing it to honor yourself, you're doing it to honor God, to build the kingdom. And that's true. But this foundation, the teaching that comes and the teaching that you teach your friends, your family members, that is what allows the next generation to build on this foundation. And if we leave these doctrines, if we do not know the truths, these two, one of these will endure the fire. The other, the fire consumes. One of these, the three, the gold, silver, and precious stones, those add to the building and add to its value. They add to its value. You know, any time that you're doing something, and I've owned some homes, and any time that I have a home, everything that I do in that home, intending never to move, but everything I do in that home, I do to improve its value. Because I never know where God's going to take me or where He's going to put me. And so I want to be a good steward. So I make improvements that make it a greater value. I had no idea that we were going to move back to the country again when I made those changes, improvements, and it added several dollars in value to the house. Improvements that I didn't really care about, but it was just general improvements that you do. Well, you see, we are to be building a building that adds value to it. Every one of us. We are to be adding value, building on this foundation of Jesus Christ. But we've got to use the right tools. And the tools is the doctrines that's found in this word. And if you try to build on anything else, it is not built upon this foundation. And how many foundations do we have? One. There's only one foundation. That's it. So anything that you attempt to build anyplace else is going to crumble and fall. It's going to crumble and fall. Every little windstorm, every little rain, anything that comes, it's going to fall. Unless you build up on the truth, the Word of God. And we've got to do that. So one adds value, the other is worthless. The other is worthless. Gold, silver, precious stones are costly. They're very valuable. The whole world agrees that they're valuable. Now, wood, hay, and stubble, basically worthless. Something that deteriorates very quickly. If we stand upon the pure doctrines of this book, led by the Holy Spirit, that is when we become builders. We're building a vessel that's going to bring honor and glory unto our God. It is of service. This doctrine allows us to be conformed into the image of our Lord. It's the only one. Everything else. How important is it that we know the Word of God? We teach the Word of God here. We stand upon it. We love it. We come together on Sunday morning for Sunday school. If you want to listen to an hour and a half of teaching, nothing but word after word after word of the Scripture on the radio. Go to the internet and listen for hours if you want to. Open that Bible, listen to it, put it on pause, study it. Let the Holy Spirit show you its way, His way. We need to know the Word of God. And come to Sunday school, listen to the precious teaching of the Word of God. And then to sing these beautiful hymns and come together and listen to the Word of God proclaimed. And back on Sunday night to hear the Word. And Tuesday afternoon for you ladies, you get a special blessing. And back on Wednesday night, what can be more exciting than coming together as a family of God? Learning these doctrines so we can be more like the Lord Jesus, so that we can be of use for Him, so that we can have power and strength. We need to be rightly dividing the Word of God. And if we don't rightly divide it, there'll be no power. You wonder why some folks can go to church. I was raised in a church and salvation wasn't a part of that church. And yet they read the Scripture every time I was there. What's the difference? The difference is they have taken away from God's precious Word. They have added to or taken away from the doctrines to make it fit them. This is not negotiable. This is God's Word. You want His power to get victory? And you learn His Word. And once you learn it, then you can begin to live it. And once you begin to live it, you begin to experience His power and His strength. You want victory? Stop trying to hang on to it yourself and give it to Him. I want every one of you, I want me, to have gold, silver, and precious stones. I want to have as little as possible this wood, hay, and stubble. As little as possible. And I promise you there's going to be much in my life. There's going to be a time of suffering loss. We'll get to that next week, the suffering loss. But just to give you a hint, those that suffer loss, it's saying to pay back. It's going to cost you if you choose not to look to His Word, depend upon His power, and serve Him. Please, let's be in service to our Lord. He died for us. He saved us, and He offered it to us for nothing. Surely, we can give our time in service to Him. Let's close with prayer. Father, I thank You today that we can come. We've looked at the lost, and we've taken a couple of weeks to do that. We're now going to take a couple of weeks and look at a couple different areas in Corinthians here concerning a service and to follow Your truths. And if we want Your power and if we want Your strength, we need to know Your Word, because it's Your living Word, dear Jesus. You have recorded it for us. And we could search it day and night for all of our life and never even touch its treasures. So please, let us not have a reason or excuse not to be here. You may come and Father, hear me teach and says, well, I've heard that before. Well, maybe there's somebody here that hadn't heard it. Or maybe there's something there that, even though you've heard it before, that there's something to learn. It's living. But sometimes we just sit upon what we've already learned, thought that's it, we've exhausted it. But Father, we know that's not true. So the smallest thing, even though it seems to be repeated maybe many times, should be taken to heart, looked at, searched, asked the Holy Spirit for leadership. Teach us. Show us what I'm to learn there. Show me. A humble heart is one that says, show me. A cold heart says, this is what I know. Please, dear Lord, teach us your word, your precious word today. Those that do not know you as their Savior, please that they will come today. And for all that do know you, let this be the day that we pick up your precious word and realize how important it is that we know it and study it and search it. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.